workers would become de facto citizens of their companies in a relationship eerily similar to Krupp's general regulations. And in an even more eerie echo of Italian fascist corporatist thought, corporations would largely replace geographic jurisdictions as conduits of government support for economic and human development. Social services, healthcare, daycare, education, and so forth would all be provided via your employer. This was all not only good, but inevitable, because business enterprises, according to Reich, are rapidly becoming the central mediating structures in American society, replacing geographic communities as the locus of social services and indeed social life. Yet somehow it's the economic right that wants corporations to have more control over our lives. In 1984, the former Republican strategist Kevin Phillips wrote Staying on Top, The Business Case for a National Industrial Strategy. Businessmen, Phillips warned, must set aside old concepts of laissez-faire. It is time for the U.S. to begin plotting its economic future on a new third-way course. Amusingly, Phillips has also argued that George W. Bush's great-grandfather, S.P. Bush, was a war profiteer because he served on Woodrow Wilson's War Industries Board, the very model of the system Phillips advocates. In 1992, Bill Clinton and Ross Perot both tapped into the widespread craving for a new alliance between government and business. In 1991, 61% of Americans said they supported some such relationship. "Without a national economic strategy, this country's been allowed to drift," candidate Clinton declared in a typical speech. Meanwhile, our competitors have organized themselves around clear national goals to save, promote, and enhance high-wage, high-growth jobs. Clinton was ultimately foiled by Congress and the federal deficit in his hope to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in his strategic plan for industry. But his administration did try very hard to target specific industries for help, to very little effect, unless you count Al Gore's invention of the Internet. Hillary Clinton's ill-fated health care plan sought to dragoon the health care industry into a web where it would be impossible to tell where government began and the private sector left off. Small businesses, like those poor dry cleaners and newspaper boys during the New Deal, simply had to take one for the team. When it was pointed out to her that small businesses would be devastated by her plan, Clinton dismissed the complaint, saying, "I can't save every undercapitalized entrepreneur in America." Democratic and most Republican health care plans don't call for expropriating the private property of doctors and pharmaceutical companies, or even for the cessation of employer-provided health care. Rather, they want to use corporations for government by proxy. There's a reason liberal economists joke that General Motors is a healthcare provider that makes cars as an industrial byproduct.
This is the end of the CD. The program continues on the next CD.